join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would remind us. Open our ears that we may hear you anew today. Open up our hearts and our minds that we might be changed. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today I want to begin with a question. Where in your life do you find joy? I'll admit that that may be an odd question this year, since this year has been filled with worry and anger and stress and change. And in the midst of all that, it can be hard to think about things like joy. Most of us would settle for calm or normal. And yet I wonder if there's a deep reservoir of joy that remains untapped in most of our lives. It's there, except we don't see it, don't experience it, don't use it. I'm reminded of an excerpt from Lord of the Rings as a character named Pippin gets a good look close up at the wizard Gandalf. Pippin glanced in some wonder at the face now close beside his own, for the sound of that laugh had been gay and merry. Yet in the wizard's face he saw at first only lines of care and sorrow, though as he looked more intently he perceived that under all there was a great joy, a fountain of mirth, enough to set a kingdom laughing were it to gush forth. One of the most intriguing things about joy is that it seems like it can be experienced in the midst of other things. And here we need to begin our process of trying to separate out our understanding of happiness and our understanding of joy. Because most of us use these words like joy and happiness and pleasure all interchangeably. And yet, what if joy is bigger? What if joy goes deeper? What if joy isn't a mood? Maybe we could get at it this way. I can feel happy right now, but part of the problem is that feeling of happiness can go away just as quickly as it comes. In other words, happiness can be fleeting. The moment you add in any other emotion, I am no longer feeling happy. Now I'm feeling something else. Happiness cannot exist at the same time as anger or sadness or fear or frustration or distraction or stress. You can be any of those other things, but if you are, you are no longer happy. I was happy, now I'm sad. In contrast, joy seems to be more lasting. Joy goes deeper, such that I can have some amount of joy while also experiencing some of those other feelings. Maybe one of the easiest places, clearest places we see this in Scripture is from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. It's right at the beginning. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind." So apparently we can and should be joyful while facing trials. Notice that doesn't work with happiness. You can't be happy while you're facing a trial, at least not for long. Again, these differences maybe start to show even more clearly as we read a little farther in James. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You notice that there's something bigger happening that allows us to find joy, even when things don't seem to be going all that well. You can be sad and experience joy. You can be afraid and still find joy. You can be worried and yet still tap into joy. You can choose joy. John Ortberg writes, "One test of authentic joy is its compatibility with pain. Joy in this world is always joy in spite of something. Joy is, as Karl Barth put it, a defiant nevertheless, set at a full stop against bitterness and resentment. Of course, this means that we can and even should find and even experience joy even in 2020. But let me back up for just a moment. During the season of Advent, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ anew in our lives, we are looking at what it means to be kingdom people. Remember, we just came out of a series that was looking at the kingdom of God, a different reality in our midst, a place where we strive to serve and follow our King, where we strive to make His will done on earth as it is in heaven. But the idea here is that we are living all of this out. As we do, we are slowly becoming more kingdom people. We are changing. We are beginning to emulate our King. And so hopefully we are becoming a people of hope. Hopefully we are becoming a people of peace. Hopefully we are becoming a people of joy. Hopefully we are becoming a people of love. And so as we move toward Advent and look back at the Christmas story, we're looking at each of these attributes. And today we'll look specifically at this idea of becoming a people of joy. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Amen. One of the things that stands out to me in this passage is the incessant joy that is rampant throughout it. Elizabeth, even baby John, are full of joy. Mary is overflowing with joy. Even the neighbors and relatives start to share in their joy. And so I want us to dig deeper into all of this joy, to see if we can't figure out what it is and where it comes from, and maybe even what it's for. And so I want us to look at three things today as we talk about joy. I want us to see how joy is anticipatory. I want us to look at how joy is rooted in God. And finally, I want us to see how joy is communal. And then if there's still time, I want us to spend just a moment seeing if we can't tap into joy better. And so with all that as our audacious mission that we're setting out upon today, let's begin by going back to the beginning of our passage as we begin with this idea that joy is anticipatory. You see, joy, like all kingdom principles, is a now and not yet principle. Remember, when we were talking about the kingdom of God a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how the kingdom is now. It's a different reality in our midst, the place in the here and now where God's will is being done. And yet, obviously, the earth that we see all around us is not as it is in heaven. And so part of the kingdom of God is now, when we follow our king, we are bringing the kingdom of God here and now. And part of the kingdom is later, is not yet, because God's will isn't completely done here on earth as it is in heaven. But what if joy is like that as well? It's something that we can experience now, something we can tap into now, and yet what if joy also points us towards something that is still to come, a promise we place our hope in? In fact, maybe part of our joy comes as we recognize that God is still bringing his kingdom come, that God is still telling his story, that God is still in control even now. And this is also how joy is different from happiness. Because here's the thing, happiness is more immediate, but it's also fleeting. You can lose it just as quickly as you find it. You can buy it, but it fades even quicker. And yet joy seems to be more lasting because joy points beyond itself. Joy points at something in the future. Joy is otherworldly. C.S. Lewis wrote about joy, "All joy reminds. It is never a possession, always a desire for something longer ago or further away or still about to be." It's always a desire for something longer ago or further away or still about to be. And really, this is what we see in our passage. As Mary enters into the house, both Elizabeth and, more surprisingly, the unborn John are filled with the Spirit, and John leaps for joy. Because both, through the Spirit, recognize not only what has happened and what is happening, but also what is to come. The coming of Mary points towards a promise, points towards hope, points toward a different outcome and a different future. And they experience joy. Mary's arrival is but a foretaste of what is to come. And it brings joy. Which means that for us to find our joy, we need to have a different perspective as we look toward not just what God has done, but at what God is currently doing around us and will continue to do all around us. I'm reminded of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, where we are told in Hebrews chapter 12, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You'll notice the anticipation of joy. Despite and even through all that Jesus would have to endure, the pain and the shame and the cross. And yet he finds joy because he is able to look beyond. He can see what this will do. He knows the one who is behind it all. And so we are reminded that joy is anticipatory. But joy is more than that, because joy is also rooted in God. It's built on a connection to God. It's found as we remember that God is sovereign. It's realized as we recall that God is still with us. And in that, we're reminded that joy is more than just mindfulness. It's not just being more aware. It's not just looking around and seeing all the good things in our lives. It's doing that, but then it's also going deeper, looking at the who that's behind it all. It's finding our joy specifically in God. And in many ways, it's our connection to and our awareness of God that allows us to have the perspective, the strength, the ability to find and maybe even choose joy in our lives. Henry Nouwen wrote, "Joy is the experience of knowing that you are unconditionally loved and that nothing, sickness, failure, emotional distress, oppression, war, or even death can take that love away. Joy is not the same as happiness. We can be unhappy about many things, but joy can still be there because it comes from the knowledge of God's love for us. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It is a choice based on the knowledge that we belong to God and have found in God our refuge and our safety, and that nothing, not even death, can take God away from us." In other words, joy flows from the sure knowledge that regardless of what else is happening, and regardless of whatever we may be feeling in the moment, and regardless of our history and our present and our future, we can still rest in, focus on, and trust God's presence and God's love in our lives. And as we do, we find a deeper well of joy underneath it all. I'm struck in our passage by Mary's response. Because first, let's remember just the situation she's in. She is pregnant. She's pledged to be married, but probably not married just yet. Culturally, all of that is not something a community would have been very understanding about or supportive of. And then she's young, she's scared, she's overwhelmed by life, which is why her song is so amazing. Because somehow she is able to take all of that reality and transform it into praise and worship and joy. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Frankly, maybe even that word rejoice is instructive. Rejoice. Because the reality is that sometimes our joy can get lost, can't it? It can be overlooked, it can be buried, it can be forgotten, it can become misplaced. We can become so busy, so distracted, so turned inward that we simply forget the joy that we should be living out all the time. And when we do, maybe we need to rejoice. It's so easy to become so caught up in all the to-dos of life that we forget to even notice the joy that is ours, even if it is mostly hidden underneath the surface. Maybe it is found again as we focus again on God. Again, I'm left wondering if part of the reason we don't find more joy in our lives is because we don't work very hard or even very consistently at finding God in our lives. And note, it's not that we don't want God in our lives, and it's not that God isn't in our lives, but we simply don't work very hard at being aware of God in our midst. We don't look to Him in the day-to-day. We don't turn to Him in prayer. We don't let Him speak to us through the Scriptures. We don't serve Him through all that we do. So maybe we need to be reminded of His presence and the joy that is found through that connection. Which brings us to the third and final aspect of joy that I want us looking at today. I want us to look at the communal nature of joy. Because here again, we find a difference between joy and happiness. And don't get me wrong, there's a communal aspect of happiness too, but it's different. When I'm happy, I want to share that happiness with others, but I'm not as concerned about them. I know that I will feel happier if they are happier as well. It's probably also worth noting that there's a communal aspect of happiness in that the people around me probably enjoy being around me more when I'm happy than when I'm cranky or tired. But again, my happiness isn't for them. It tends to be for me. Ultimately, when I think about happiness, I don't normally extend the circle out much farther than just myself. If I'm happy, then I feel good, but it's really all about and for me. It's my happiness, my comfort, my pleasure, my way. Joy is different. Joy isn't quite so selfish. Joy is found in community. Joy is fostered by community. Joy is only full through community. And we see this all throughout our passage. Elizabeth, unborn John, and Mary experience joy together. Mary is aware of her nearness to God, which allows her to rejoice. And then at the end of the passage, Elizabeth gives birth, and it's her neighbors and relatives that share her joy. They aren't just happy for her. They share her joy. Because here's the thing, they've walked with her through all of this. They remember that she couldn't have kids. They've held her when she's hurt. They've calmed her as she's been angry. They've picked her up when she's been disappointed. They've dried her tears when she's cried. They have been with her through it all. And so when her hopes are finally realized, because they have shared life together and lived out faith together, they also are able to share her joy. It's because of their connection that the joy flows among them. John Templeton wrote, "To get joy, we must give it, and to keep joy, we must scatter it." We share our hurts and our hopes and our joys together, even as we are separated in this time, because we know that joy was meant to be lived out together. But this also points us toward one more thing, because the passage echoes somewhere else in Scripture. That phrase, "they shared her joy," sounds like someone else. Jesus in John 15:11 is with his disciples and he says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Notice again all of the things we've been talking about. Notice the communal aspect of joy. He tells this to his disciples who are in community with him. Notice again that joy is rooted in God. It's my joy that is in you. Notice again that joy is anticipatory. Jesus is hoping that their joy will become and be made complete. You see, maybe our joy is only found in Him. Joy is only complete when it's His joy living in us and flowing through us and working out of us. Maybe that is the secret of joy. It's His joy that is in us and that completes our joy. Maybe that is how we become a people of joy. And I want to close with this. It's from Henry Nouwen as he tries to help us to choose joy. He writes this: "I am convinced that we can choose joy. Every moment we can decide to respond to an event or a person with joy instead of sadness. When we truly believe that God is life and only life, then nothing need have the power to draw us into that sad realm of death. To choose joy does not mean to choose happy feelings or an artificial atmosphere of hilarity, but it does mean the determination to let whatever takes place bring us one step closer to the God of life." Maybe this is what is so important about quiet moments of meditation and prayer. They allow me to take a critical look at my mood and to move from victimization to free choice. This morning, I woke up somewhat depressed. I could not find any reason for it. Life just felt empty, useless, fatiguing. I felt invaded by somber spirits. I realized that this mood was lying to me. Life is not meaningless. God has created life as an expression of love. It helped me to know this, even though I could not feel it. Based on this knowledge, I could again choose joy. This choice means simply to act according to the truth. The depressed mood is still there. I cannot just force it out of my heart, but at least I can unmask it as being untrue and thus prevent it from becoming the ground for my actions. I am called to be joyful. It gives much consolation to know that I can choose joy. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we pray that you would make us a people of joy. But Lord, we recognize that for that to happen, we need to be more aware of you. We need to find our joy in you. And so, Lord God, help us to look to you, focus on you, be more mindful of you in our lives. Help us recognize that you are the source of our joy. Lord, help us to recognize that joy is anticipatory. It points toward your kingdom come and your will be done. It points back toward you. And Lord, help us to remember that joy is communal. It's something we experience together, which means we need to be in each other's lives. We need to be your church, even in this season. Lord, help us to experience your joy. Help us to be filled by your joy. Help us to be changed by your joy as it makes our joy complete. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are always with us no matter what. And we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.